thinking, how hard can the great offering be? This is why I don't go in the kitchen, people. How hard can it be? It's just some grain, for crying out loud. It's like, I'm sitting there studying, and it's like, wait a sec. There's uncooked, and you mix it with oil and put frankincense on. But what's the opposite of uncooked? It's baked, right? It's green. But there's like three different kinds of baking. I'm like, I've already handed in my kitchen card. This is overwhelming to me. There's one baked in an oven. Then they're baked in a pan. And then baked in a covered pan. Who knew? And each one has like slightly different. Okay, if it's baked in an oven, you crumble it up and put oil on it afterward. It's like, this is too much work. I just like put it on the table and right, cram it in your mouth, even though that's not what this is for. But it's kind of confusing now because it is so. You're like thinking, oh, the first one, that's kind of tedious. The second one, this grain offering is like, you've got to be kidding me. This is just corn, you know, or whatever, wheat or barley they think it probably most likely was. But anyway, let's go through this the best we can, all right? But understand that it is that. And I sat and worked on it and worked on it and worked on it. I feel like there is no way this can be like summer. Okay, but I'll do my best. All right, let's look here first. What I want to know is, and I think I've already kind of told you a little bit, but that first passage there is what we're looking at, okay? What I want to know is what was offered. Still? We replaced them already.
How did they?
Anyway, well, it's the people like sitting in the auditorium or the front door. Plus, it's being recorded just in case my recorder doesn't work. It's a backup. I'm not kidding. I worked on this for hours yesterday, and I still have like nothing to give you. I put it in a chart and stuff. That's what I have, a little cheater chart. The results of all my work is like one line on a chart. This is in the big box. So there's unbaked and baked. Okay. Good thing we had snacks. Though, when they start describing it, I'm like, pass. There's baked and unbaked. Now listen here. Let's make these so you can see them. There's two categories of grain offerings, right? Baked. Fine flour. This is under baked. I think it's all made from fine flour. I'll understand that. But that you offer fine flour with oil, and then you sprinkle frankincense on it. Frankincense. Which comes from a pumpkin. It's edible. Put perfume on it. That's nasty. Alright? So they offered that. That's verses 1 through 3. Okay, see that? This is one that anyone offers a grain offering to
here's one option. Baked how? In the oven. Okay? So in the oven. So that's verse 4. It says this is what you'll do. It shall be unleavened cakes of fine flour mixed with oil, or unleavened wafers, also known as cupcakes, okay, with oil. Okay, so you have in the oven, you're either baking like a loaf or wafers, I suppose like crackers or something. And again, that sounds funny to us, but it's probably not the way they cook normally, okay? So in the oven, so it's again fine flour, cake, or wafer. Okay? Still with me? You getting hungry? Okay. Verse 5. But if your offering is a grain offering baked in a pan. I feel like it's a. Would you eat it on the go? Would you eat it with the go? Would you cook it over? Would you cook it in the pan? Would you cook it in the land? No, whatever. So in the pan. Okay, fine flour, unleavened, mixed with oil again, all right? That's it. That's the one you break in pieces and pour oil on it. You must dry it out. Okay? But you bake it in a pan. Think of it as like probably a flat pan. Because the oven, think of it as like one of those pizza ovens, probably more. You just slide it in and it cooks without being in a pan at all. It's like I always bake right in a pan. You know? Well, they didn't. They set it in a stone oven or whatever. So that's what so in a pan. The last one here is in a what? Verse 7. It's a covered pan. Oh my goodness. Come on! It's like, oh, it's different in a covered pan? It's okay. So in a covered pan. Yes. But I am not, so I don't. Okay.
You're not.
No, as a Boy Scout, right?
For a very short time. We would cook like a Dutch oven kind of thing. And we would bake.
So,
what are the ingredients? Are all the same?
These are all. See, this is what they made, but these are. It's all fine flour with oil, no leaven. Okay. For some reason, the frankincense is the one that's Yeah, but Leviticus 2 doesn't say that. Does that make sense? So all the stuff I've read, it's like, yeah, the oil is this and this is that and all that. And you're like, okay, I can understand the Holy Spirit's talking about his oil elsewhere. But Leviticus 2 doesn't say that in the Bible. Okay, so I'm not arguing against it. I'm just saying the text itself does not say that here. That's us bringing the New Testament to bear to the Old Testament. Right? Or even other parts of the Old Testament, I believe the Holy Spirit is related to oil. Okay. I don't disagree with you, Karen. It's just the actual text doesn't say that. So, and different people try to parse it differently, and then they talk about, well, like, frankincense means the suffering of Jesus or something. It's like, okay, I'm not against that even. I don't know how far to go since the text itself doesn't say that frankincense stands for the suffering. I don't think that's an inaccurate statement. We could. It just doesn't make sense. So did you get what was offered? That's what was offered.
Would you bake it in a pan? Would you bake it?
With what?
Would you bake it in the oven?
Now, what we want to figure out is what the offerer did. There's a couple things. This is what the offerer did. shortly. That's next. What did the offerer do? Okay, a couple things. Yeah, prepared. Right, grind, mix, put the frankincense on if it's that, and also baking, right? Boy, that would really build my dependence upon God at that point. For me. Okay, and then bring it, right? It's interesting, but this sacrifice requires no formality. There's no joint participation. What did they do with the burnt offering? They had to kill it. They had to skin it. They had to cut it up. They had to clean parts of it. They were part of the process. Here, they're like, I've already done everything. Here it is. Right? They give it to the priest. Right? That's it. Prepare, bake, and bring. Okay, what did the priest do? By the way, that's a this one. Okay, it says here the priest shall burn. He'll take a handful. That's a biblical term for what I know. Handful of fine flour and oil. Priest shall burn it as a memorial on the altar. So he takes a handful. Okay. Guess what? It's a sweet aroma to the Lord. You want to remember that. Okay? It's sweet aroma to the Lord. By the way, you can't see it from here. That's my cheat sheet. I'm making it for you. When we're done, I'll give you the chart. When I'm done, I'll give you the chart. But it gives it an overview. But it's still like, I have this full page wide thing, and I keep it down to make it fit, and there's still not enough room for the different categories of stuff. So the sweet aroma underneath the name of it, make it fit it somewhere. So you could have categories of sweet aroma, check or not check. Okay, they burn a handful as a memorial. Okay, the rest, let's see, we'll get to that. If they bring an offering of grain, offering baked in the oven, it should be unleavened. Baked in a pan, baked in a cover. Okay, verse 8 now. If you look at verse 8, you shall bring the grain offering that is made of these things to the Lord, and when it is presented to the priest, he shall bring it to the altar. Then the priest shall take from the grain offering a memorial portion, burn it on the altar. So I think whatever form it is, they burn a portion. Here's a piece of cake. It isn't really cake. You actually have bread or whatever that is.
You know what an already portion is.
There's 100 now. Yeah, but a handful, obviously it was just a token. It was that intended, but you know, God gets a part. By the way, the priest had the tithe from the tithe and stuff too. So you'll see that here shortly. Verse 10, and by the way, it says it's an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord again. It says it. So. Verse 10, and what is left of the grain offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. So that's God's portion here. Let's back up. God's portion, I'm just going to put God's. He got a memorial portion burned, right? The priest So they could bring, by the way, there's no designation as to how much they bring. When you bring, you're told to bring a bull, that kind of narrows it down a little bit. Right? But when you're told bring grain, you can bring any amount of grain. Obviously, it could even be something baked in a meal. It doesn't have to be massive carts of stuff. Okay? Priest portion, all that's left. It says there in verse 10, what is left of the grain offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is most holy of the offerings to the Lord made by fire. Did you see that? It's the most holy. That just freaks me out. Because that isn't the way my brain, I'm thinking the bull, the most expensive would be the most holy. Right? No grain offering which you bring to the Lord shall be made with leaven, for you shall burn no leaven or honey. So let me put down here, no leaven, I'm going to add no honey here. It's funny, God kind of comes back around and says that, okay? So whatever you do, you're not baking any honey. By the way, no leaven or anything either, right? As for the offering of the first fruits. Now, verses 12 talks about first fruits, which is an application of a grain offering. Later, he hasn't really told you about first fruits yet. Does that make sense? It's kind of like saying, when the offering of first fruits, here's a little bit of information, but I haven't told you about first fruits yet. It's like, when we get to the park, I'll tell you more about the park. Okay, kind of idea, but he's brought it up now. Oh, park. You know, so it's first fruits. We don't know anything about the first fruits. We just know that there's details about the first fruits. So I'm not going into it more. By the way, it's a little slightly different. They actually, roast the green heads on the fire and then beat the heads from the green. And then you put oil and frankincense to green on there. So it's like a special type of grain offering that's like a special time. What's the first fruits? When did that happen?
Harvest
time. Okay, so it's kind of like, well, here's the general grain offering idea, but there's also a special one that we'll get to later, and here's a general idea. It's a little bit different. You roast it, beat the heads off, and you do the oil and frankincense. Priest shall burn the memorial portion, and the rest is his, right? Okay? Alright. By the way, this, I'm summarizing chapter 6, some. You can read the rest. But verse 18 says, all the males among the children of Aaron may eat it. They had to be clean, and they had to eat it in the tabernacle. Offerings and things. So, priest, all that's left, eaten by, and I'm using males, in tabernacle. And by the way, his family, right? The priest's family, Aaron and his son. Okay? You got that? What portion was the offerer? Everybody else says nothing, and nothing is correct. Okay. All right. Before I get to the last two, those, okay? weren't eating corn.
Manna.
They weren't eating barley. They weren't eating wheat. They were eating the manna, right? Every day, collecting it once a day, every 6 days, right? And eating it. They didn't have grain in supply. So grain would be like gold. Or, if we could talk to Jim Lung, who's at the front door, it's your seed corn, baby. It's the stuff that you plan on planting to grow all of your food when you get to where you plan on going. Your seed corn is way more expensive than your normal. Especially in our day. But I mean, that's the stuff that's your future. That's your future sustenance. Hang on to that. What's it mean for Christ? How does it picture Christ? It doesn't say it here. Again, it didn't say it was a burnt offering either. This kind of picture. There's two passages. Excuse me. Someday, we're going to go to John 6, which is one of the most typical passages at face value. Jesus said, unless you eat my body. Oh, so the Catholics are right? No, they're not. But it's chapter 6, 32 to 58. Jesus says twice or three times, I am the bread of life. It's true because he's the creator, he's the physical sustainer. He keeps us alive. He holds all things together, right? Don't you feel like falling apart every day, and aren't you glad he doesn't let you down? He's the physical provider. I don't believe that passage is referring to either of those. But he's also the spiritual sustainer, right? I am the bread of life. He's the eternal life. Yep. So he's the giver of eternal life. So there's one picture that's huge. And again, where do we have to go to kind of understand this in more detail? Did the Israelites fully understand this? I don't believe so. The other one that someone brought up that I thought was good, and by the way, this isn't going into the frankincense and like what Karen said, the oil and stuff. I think those are very legitimate. We're just not going that deep. The other one is John 12:24. He says, unless a grain of wheat, what? Falls to the ground and dies. It can't come. Right? Some have suggested, and again, I'm saying it as a, it might be true, I don't know, but someone suggested there's a ton of work to make fine flour. One book, it didn't offer any proof, evidence, or even reasoning behind it. It said they would sift it 13 times. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't even know. They didn't. It was a lot of work.
Almost the whole day for people to do that. Because we think pounding, we can do a grist mill or something like that. They have a bowl, a special bowl, and a mortar, what we call a mortar and pestle. And they would put that grain in there, and how much they put in it, and they would just sit there and grind it.
It would be a lot of powder.
And then sift it.
Yeah. So, I'm describes himself as the bread of life in the green wheat that has fallen from the sky. Okay, which then makes me think of the fine flour or part of everything. So there's that. Now, the lesson, and I'm tying in with what the Israelites would think, and also us. You are giving up your seed corn, at least during that time, and then eventually just offering it later on. What are you saying to God? Yeah. It's basically, I trust you for my, I would say, existence and provision. And I think of, like Matthew 6, give us this day our daily bread, right? And so that's the physical part. But also, I would just say, and I don't know if anyone can think of like a term or a passage right off, but the idea is that God sustains us spiritually on an ongoing basis. That the Holy Spirit, He feeds us in His Word, right? The Word of God is to be food for us. I'm just trying to think of a New Testament, aka epistles, reference for us. You know, I slept in a boat for God sustained me kind of idea would be in there, but there's more. God provides for us spiritually. He is, as Dory said, our Lord and all that. So, but it's basically saying, ultimately, God, well, Jesus said it in 14:33, he said, unless you forsake all that you have, you cannot be my disciple. Okay, that idea, it, from what I understand, the word forsake is not to throw away, but will to let go. Right? The idea is that it doesn't mean that God will let you have some of that, but you are willing to give everything up for Him. And that's really kind of the emphasis of this, to say everything I have is yours, and I'm counting on you to take care of me. And it takes me back then to Matthew 6 later on. He says, seek first the kingdom. Don't worry about what you will eat or drink or what you will wear. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. So it says, put the spiritual first, I'll take care of your physical. What is that? 1 Peter 5:7? In passing all your care.
that, and then you got to preserve it as you travel. And that was
preserve it. But all I can think of too is I'm only thinking a family of 15, so this is small beans. But it's like, you know, so it's like, well, what do you do with leftovers? And you're like,
what leftovers?
Yeah, what leftovers?
What are you talking about?
But when you look at these what they're all off asking and I was like, that he's doing it.
There was no requirement, at least here, how much or when. This is considered a free will thing still, even though the word is near, it seems to be that way. But, again, there was a limited amount of everything. And even when you're talking about livestock, I'm guessing that they didn't have so much livestock that if they said, let's have burgers tonight, they could pretty well use up their livestock. Right? And then what are we having tomorrow night? I don't think they had an endless supply of livestock.
They had goats and they had
we just don't know how many. And there was 2.8 million people. How many cows would it take to just feed them lunch? And everyone gets one sandwich. You know what I mean? Kind of thing. So I think that the livestock was probably thinking ahead too somewhere. You know what I mean? You have to get there with your livestock. But yeah, they weren't allowed to eat it other than with the sacrifices. They ate manna and then they ate some quail. Anyway, there's a lot more to this, but this is all we're going to say about it for now. But I thought, wow, I was going to cover the grain offering and the peace offering together. So at least I know I'm stupid, right? When I come across it, then I would say there's no way this is going to happen with two offerings. So it looks like we're going to cover one offering a week. And you know what? I think God's going to keep teaching this. And then because we are lingering a little bit, I think we get it a little more, but it also make more sense when they come up again, and they will. So like you said, when someone says a grain offering or the burnt offering or the peace offering, you're going to be like, ding, I know what that is. I understand what that is. Even if it's just a brief phrase that you remember about the burnt offering. You know, it's everything sweet-smelling savor. You know, it's not for sin, per se. Anyway. So good? Let's go home and bake some cakes in the oven with the oven.
No, cake in the oven, whatever.
It's open. Obviously, I'm not
going to cake.
Unless it's on the grill.
You do realize.
Oh, you're in the next time.
You do realize where you put it in the pan and you cook one side. And you have the opportunity to turn it over. When you cover it, you don't have the opportunity to turn it over.
Or yeah, bake it all together. Sacrifices and all that Jesus gives to us. We pray.